Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Amen. Hey, turn in your Bibles this morning, if you would, to the book of Galatians. It's a New Testament book in the Bible. And last week, we started a series entitled For Everyone. And it quickly, as I was going through my studies, it quickly became a study in the book of Galatians. And so we're going to take some time. We might skip into some other things occasionally here and there. We have guest speakers coming, and I don't know that they'll be going from the book of Galatians. Depending on where Galatians falls for Easter weekend and Good Friday, we might skip out of Galatians and go somewhere else for a moment. But for the next weeks, maybe months, I don't know. We'll see how the Holy Spirit leads. We're going to be going through the book of Galatians. Last week, we began to cover just two verses, and we're going to try to finalize covering those verses today. And so we're just going to get through two verses in 2 weeks. So I don't know. Maybe 5 years from now, we'll still be in the book of Galatians. But it's the Bible. It's all good. Are you with me? And so the reason I entitled it For Everyone is because as I began to study the book of Galatians, I quickly began to realize what Paul was doing through what wasn't a book to him, what was really a letter, that he was writing to the church in Galatia. And as he's writing to the church, now notice there he's writing to the church, he's writing to believers, those that already are in process of this spiritual journey of knowing Jesus and the work of Jesus. He's writing to them specifically, and as he writes to them, he writes to address some things that are happening in the church. And here's why he's writing to them. He's writing to them to deal with some racial issues that are happening in the church between Jews and Greeks and Jews in general. There's just some tension because some people grew up with tradition that they followed. Others grew up with none of that tradition, and now there's kind of this argument going back and forth of what's right and what's wrong, and it quickly became a racial issue. But then it began to go even deeper than that, and it wasn't even about a racial issue. It was about an economical issue. It was about who has and who has not in their eyes. And it went beyond that, and it went into a male-female issue. It kind of sounds like our culture today, doesn't it? And so he writes because he realizes that the power to change culture is in the church. It's in the church. It's the church inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit has the ability to impact the culture around it. But in order for that to happen, it has to work right here first. And so he begins to write, and really it's summed up in Galatians 3:28. Let me read it to you. It says, there is no Jew or Greek. In other words, it's not about a racial issue. There's no Jew, there's no Greek. And then he goes on, he says, there's no slave, there's no free. It's not an economical issue. And there is no male or female. Listen to it now, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? It's for everyone. Are you with me? Look at your neighbor and say, for everyone. Now, one of the things we love to do here at Canvas Church is we love to encourage you to take notes. Because here's the thing, is I don't want you just to hear me shout at you and yell at you for, you know, I don't know, 30 minutes to an hour, depending on what's going on. I want you to be able to grab something and take it home and digest it. Are you with me? And begin to process it. And begin to take it to your small group and begin to flesh it out even more. And so because of that, we have our app that you can take notes on. You can text the word app to 858-943-2221. Download the app, take notes. But we realize there's some paper note takers. Who likes to take notes by paper, via paper? Anybody? Okay, keep your hands up, wave it around. Ushers are coming right now. If you want paper notes, just lift your hand up. You already grabbed one, cool. But if you want some paper notes, we got some people up here. Because we want you to take this, because we want you to get it in your spirit, because we believe, right up here we got some, we believe that what we talk about here is so relevant, has the ability to impact culture. Are you with me? So he begins to write in Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. And I want you to notice that he's writing with some authority. He's writing with some emphasis. He's writing with some boldness. And I believe he's writing that because he understands. We got somebody else right up here in the front that needs notes. He's writing that way because he understands the life he has in Christ Jesus and what he's called to. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, highlight that in your mind, we'll come back to it. Not from men or by men, but by Jesus Christ. Look how powerful that is. Listen, man didn't appoint me, man didn't give me this authority, man didn't assign this to me. I'm not an apostle because men are calling me an apostle. I'm an apostle because Christ established me as an apostle. Oh, you need to know who Christ is? Jesus, listen to it now. Jesus Christ and God the Father, whom raised him from the dead. Just in case you forgot who Jesus is the one that lived a sinless life, laid his life down on the cross, went to the grave, was there for 3 days, and then God raised him from the dead. That's who Jesus is. This is the one that gave me the authority. And all the brothers who are with me. In other words, I'm not just writing to you as an apostle established by Jesus. If you want to know my resume, check with my homies. Are you with me? Check with the entourage I have with me. This is my small group. Come on, somebody. This is my community. And they can validate or they can confirm the transformation that has taken place and that I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus. Who's he writing to? To the churches of Galatia. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. Lord, I pray in the next few moments that we have together that, God, you would speak to us out of this passage. That, God, you would just come alive in these two verses and communicate something to each and every one of us. And that we would understand that our boldness and our authority comes from the life that you have given us. God, much like Paul was called, we've been called. And that we would walk in that calling with boldness and authority. God, I pray you'd help me now preach in such a way that people can encounter your son Jesus, know your love, and realize the incredible plan that you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. As I was studying over the last couple of weeks, I started thinking about my high school years. Anybody remember their high school years? 7 of you. I guess the rest of you are too old or too traumatized. I don't know. Like, no, I try to forget that, Pastor. I was thinking about my high school years and just kind of replaying some of those memories in my mind. And I enjoyed my high school years. And probably one of the reasons I was thinking about it is because I was just observing my kids. I have a daughter who's a freshman in high school and then another daughter who's a junior in high school. And so I hear about their activities and things going on and things that they're doing. And one of my oldest daughter who's a junior is now a TA in the class, a teacher's assistant. Was anybody ever a teacher's assistant? A TA, yeah, okay. And I remember like my freshman and sophomore year looking at the teacher's assistants like, I want to do that someday, right? Like, because they get to like assist the teacher, but then they get to go on assignments for the teacher and they get to walk the hallways, right? And I remember looking at that like that was my big goal in life, people. I'm like, I want to be a TA one day. The problem is I wasn't the brightest student. Just being honest with you. I was a C student. And that was with me working really hard. Anybody out there, can you feel me? Some of you like my kids, they got their smarts from their mama. They just show up to class and they're getting A's. I'm just like, whatever. They just walk in and just say, A. I walk in, it's like, C. I'm like, but I actually studied. And I might have even looked at the smartest student's paper one time, but that possible? So I wasn't always, I didn't know that I was going to make it. And so because of that, I didn't get to be a TA my junior year because there was classes I still needed to take. And so by my senior year, though, I like had one open period and I'm like, yes, I'm going to be a TA. And everybody's looking at me like, I don't want you TAing for me. And so I finally landed a TA. Guess what class it was? PE. That's right. Come on, somebody. That's right. Yeah, no one would let me be like the English TA, you know, it's like, dude, you can't even spell yet and you're a senior. And I'm like, I know, but I'm really good at talking and you don't know how I'm spelling the words in my mind. It's a true story. So someone said, hey, Ben, you should start a blog. And I'm like, you don't want me starting a blog. I can talk good on stage, but that's because you don't see the way I'm spelling the words. If I start writing it out, you're gonna be like, what's he trying to say? What language is that? That's C student language. Come on, somebody. See, some of you know what I'm talking about. You're like, I'm with you, Pastor. Right? And so I got a TA as a PE with a PE teacher, and I'll never forget the first assignment he gave me. And it was like, hey, I need you to take this to so-and-so's class. And I'm like, yes, first assignment, right? And he gave me that little piece of paper. And now, man, I just felt like so awesome as I got to walk the hallways as everybody else was in class. Because if you were supposed to be in class, you're in the hallway, you got in trouble. But not if you were a TA running an assignment. Are you with me? And I'll never forget, man, I got that paper and I was like, I got this. I don't even, it probably wasn't anything important, but Finally, hey, can you order some more balls or something? I don't know. But I was like, I'm on assignment. And I walked out that hallway like, man, I can walk these hallways. I'd go by some classroom, see my friends. I'd be like, I, Ben Brinkman, PA for PE. It's awesome. And I'll never forget, I saw a teacher come around the corner and they stopped. They're like, Brinkman, get to class. I'm like, what? Dude, you can't be walking the hallways. And ha-ha, TA. I can walk the halls. See, I could walk the halls with boldness and authority because of the person that assigned me to do it. I could walk because someone had assigned me to do something. I was validated by that. Paul writes and he says, Paul, an apostle. Paul, an apostle. I got an assignment. Listen to me. The assignment, it didn't come from my buddies. It didn't come from man. No, no, let me tell you who my assignment came from. It came from the PE teacher. Come on, somebody. My assignment came from Jesus. Oh, you need to be reminded. I'll remind you who Jesus is. He could walk into this moment with the church in Galatia, not because man gave him the assignment, but because Jesus gave him the assignment. And he says, Paul, an apostle. Here's what the word apostle means. It means an envoy. An ambassador or a messenger commissioned to carry out the instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? I, Paul, an envoy, an ambassador commissioned by Jesus himself, come to you now with a message. We need to be one in Christ Jesus. It's not about the racial issues. It's not about the economical issues. It's not about whether you're male or female. Listen to me now, Church of Galatia, and listen to me. It's just as powerful today as it was back then. So listen, Canvas Church, we're all one in Christ Jesus. This message is for everyone. This message is for everyone. And he writes with power and authority and boldness because of the one that sent him, the one that called him, the one that anointed him, the one that commissioned him. Listen, you might not have apostle on your name. But I want you to know something. You are not sitting here today because Pastor Ben called you. You are not sitting here today because a canvas called you. You're not sitting here because mom and dad called you. You're not sitting here because someone invited you. Listen to me. They might have prayed to get you to this point. They might have been on their hands and knees pleading with Jesus Christ to get you to this moment where you would. But listen to me. Every single one of us walked into a relationship with Jesus because he and he alone called you into that relationship. He's the one that snatched you out. He's the one that took you from sin and iniquity and destruction and a path to hell and said, I got a purpose for you. I got a plan for you. I want to pull you up and put you in and commission you to do something with your life. That is because of him and him alone. And so because of that, you and I can walk with the same boldness, the same power, and the same authority as Apostle Paul did. See, the Apostle Paul knew something. He said, if I could get this message into the church, then the church could impact the culture. That's the whole point, right? As we gather here together on a Sunday morning, man, will some people come in? Yeah, I believe they will. And I believe on the 31st, we're going to see what this place can become as we just minister to hundreds and hundreds of people. But listen to me, what takes place in here on Sunday morning is to get something into you, to recognize there is a call on your life and to commission you in that call and to empower you in that call and that purpose so that you could go and impact the culture. Amen? Some people will come in from the culture and they'll come here and they'll be impacted and they'll hear the good news of Jesus Christ and life transformation will take place. But you got to hear, listen, last night as I don't know, 30-something kids came and threw balls at each other. The whole purpose was not to get them to chuck balls at their leaders or leaders to chuck balls at them. It was to get them together, to get them together in a community, to then begin to infuse them with the gospel so that they could impact culture. Paul writes to the church at Galatia because it's got to happen in the church first. You got to understand who you are. And when you understand who you are and the power and authority you have, then you can walk forward and impact culture. Come on, the Bible says he's not giving you a spirit of fear, of timidity, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? So that we can impact culture. Paul understood his call. He understood his life. And I believe this, that as we begin to understand the life that we are called to, come on, we will have that same boldness and authority. We need to understand the culture we are in and address it with boldness and authority, just as Paul did. Secondly, though, we need to understand our boldness and authority comes from the life Christ has for us. Our boldness and authority comes from the life Christ has for us. So let me just give you a few things real quickly, and that was just pulled right from these two verses. The life Christ has for you is, number one, not defined by your past. The life that Christ Jesus has for you is not defined by your past. Now, I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. That gets me super excited. Some of you just need to push the pause button for a moment and think about your past. And it'll probably get you excited as well. And maybe you don't even have to go that far to the past. Maybe just go back to last night. But the life he has for you, church, is not defined by your past successes, or your past failures. The life that he has for you is not defined by how good you've lived or how bad you've lived. Are you with me? It's not defined by that. Man, it doesn't matter if you lived like hell for the last 20 years. One moment in the presence of God, as you humble yourself and you confess your sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. As far as the east is from the west, the Bible says, so have your transgressions, your sins been removed from you. It don't matter. You could walk in here today having lived like hell the last whatever, but come on, one moment in his grace changes everything. One moment. You might be here and you might be thinking like, I'm ready for the life because I lived so good. You're missing it. The life he has for you is not defined by your past. It's not defined. Listen to what Paul says. And Paul recognizes this. That's why he says, listen, I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus. And we read last week a little bit about his past, but look what he writes in 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 10. He says, for I am the least of the apostles. Listen to what he says. Unworthy to be called an apostle. He's unworthy. Because I persecuted the church of God. But, everybody say but. Come on, I love the buts of the Bible. But by God's grace, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not ineffective. In other words, his grace for me, man, it's sufficient. It's all I need. His grace. Listen, I'm not worthy enough. I'm not qualified enough. I didn't live life good enough, but I didn't live life bad enough either, because it's not defined by my past. It is defined by Jesus Christ and him alone. See, some of us need to catch that. Some of us need to catch that. Because here's the reality. That some people, look, and I shared with you, I'm a C student. You're like, why does he get to be up there? He only got C's. I studied hard and I got A's. I'm not defined by my past. I'm a student in his eyes. He don't care how I spell things. He done don't care. But you know, here's what happens sometimes, right? Like you could look at somebody and be like, they're a Christian. Now, I know nobody in this church would do that, but when you go visit other churches, you've probably seen that take place, right? People looking like, oh, they're a Christian. Oh. But if you could see what their life was like before Christ, and the life that they came from, and the upbringing that they were in, and the family dynamics around you, you'd be like, oh, they're a Christian! Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. But see, even that, and then sometimes we wrestle with that, because it's like, well, I mean, they came from that, and they're here, I grew up well. My parents raised me good. There's a parable in the scriptures. Let me just summarize it for you. And it talks about a man needing some work done. And so he hires some people. And they come and they work from sunup to sundown. But he realizes there's a lot of work, and so he needs some more people. So he hires some people halfway through the day, and they work at the halfway point to sundown. And the people that worked halfway are coming and getting their pay. And then the other people are looking at what they're getting paid, and they're like, sweet, we're going to get paid more because we worked all day. And they come, and they get paid the same amount as the people that worked half the day. And they get ticked off. The owner says, how have I wronged you? Did you not agree to work for such and such? Yes? Well, how have I wronged you? Here's just the principle of the parable. It doesn't matter what your past looked like. It doesn't matter what time you came to know Jesus, whether you came to know Jesus as a kid or whether you came to know Jesus as an adult. Come on, the same reward awaits all of us. And it is an amazing, abundant life found in Christ Jesus. Now listen to me. Is there some life benefits to having served Jesus all your life? Don't get me wrong, there are. See, some people look at somebody's testimony, like my wife's. My wife's testimony that she was saved out of a life of drugs. She was saved out of a life of bad relationships. Christ came in. Man, she tried to take her own life. And in that moment, man, God just kind of begins to rework everything and pull her out of suicide and drug addiction and bad relationships. And man, look what God has done. And that's awesome. And see, someone's sitting here right now like, she's a pastor? You have not been listening to the message. See, we have a book out there called Beautifully Wrecked, and her story's in it. And if you've never read the book, great book. But some people read that like, oh my gosh, that's my pastor. But that we believe in the power of the risen Savior to restore a life. Why not her? But then some people hear my testimony. Like, I grew up as a pastor's kid. I was like born on Saturday in church on Sunday. They were probably already sprinkling me with water. I was only 24 hours old. Casting demons out of me. Be saved, child! You're going to serve the Lord! You know? I don't think that really happened, but maybe. You know? And man, just, you know, doing the best I can, growing in a Christian home and serving Jesus all my life. Never done any legal drugs. I don't say this to brag, just hear the rest of the story. Never done a drug in my life, you know. And then, you know, I got saved at the age of 6, and it's like, oh. See, no one's cheering for my story. Did you see that, though? Not until it was provoked. It's like, oh, yeah! What is he talking about? I don't know, honey. I'm getting hungry. You know, it's like, is he almost done? I know we got our own building, but this dude's been preaching longer and longer every weekend. But you know what? The same Jesus that kept me from a life of that is the same Jesus that saved her from a life of that. And what makes a story powerful is not what you came from, because it's not about your past. What makes your story powerful is the one who did it, and his name is Jesus. He's the one. He's the one. But listen to me. Are there things that she had to deal with and live through because of her choices? Yes. And are there things I didn't have to deal with and live through because of my choices? Yes. But the same Jesus saved us both. And doesn't look at our future based on our past. This is good preaching. Life Christ has for you is, number one, not defined by your past. Number two, it's not qualified by people. It's not qualified by people. Listen to what Paul says. I'm an apostle. Let me just tell you, not because man calls me an apostle. That's not where my qualification comes from. It comes from Jesus. It's not qualified by man. Listen to me. I don't have the title pastor because I'm a pastor of this church. I have the title pastor, you know, in the biblical sense, because he called me to this. He anointed me for this. He positioned me for this. I am a pastor whether or not I'm your pastor. I'm a pastor whether or not you call me pastor. Matter of fact, I don't care if you call me pastor. Some people don't call me pastor. They just call me Ben. Some people are like, hey, bro. I'm like, hey, dude, what's your name? Don't care. I'm not qualified because of a title. I'm not qualified because, hey, I think you should be a pastor. I'm not qualified by people. I'm qualified by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so are you. You're not a Christian because you call yourself a Christian. You're not a Christian because other people look at me like, oh, you must be a Christian. No, you're a Christ follower Christian because he called you. Are you with me today? And it's his amazing love. His amazing love. Man, it's so good. Number three, let me just give you the last two. Number three, the life Christ has for you is determined by your position. Wait, what? What do you mean my position, Pastor? I'm just a ministry team member, or I'm not even there yet, or I don't even know if I believe this yet, and I'm just a young person. Well, I've been serving Jesus for a long. What do you mean it's determined by my position? Listen to the verse. Paul writes later in Galatians chapter 2. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Ephesians 2:6. He begins to say, hey, I've been seated with Christ in heavenly places. I'm positioned in him. I'm positioned in heavenly places. I'm seated with him. It is my position. The life I have is determined by my position. No, not my position at my job, not my position in ministry team, not my position as a pastor on this stage, not my position, whatever I'm doing. No, it's my position in him. Are you with me today? Man, he came because of his love, and he rescued us, and he positions us in Christ Jesus. Amen? And this life that he has for you, it's where we get our power and our authority, but this life he has for us is not defined by your past. It's not qualified by people. And thirdly, it's not it's determined by your position in Christ. I love what Paul says. It's Christ who established me in this place. And number four, worship team, you can come. Number four, man, the life that he has for us is confirmed by partners. Confirmed by partners. Listen to what he says. I, Paul, an apostle, because of Jesus. Reminds him who Jesus is. Listen to what he says. And the brothers and sisters that are with me. I'm not qualified because of the people that are with me, but I am confirmed because of the people that are with me. You don't just take my word for it, Paul says. Hey, I got some dudes with me. Talk to them. You don't believe me? I just check it out with them. And here's the great thing about having partners in your life, a small group, a community, a church in your life, is that without fail, every single one of us, as we're walking a path towards Jesus, towards the call, towards the incredible life he has for us, we like to go like this. Whether it's circumstances, whether it's situations, whether it's other people in our life. And so we need some partners that can say, yeah, no, that they're walking with Jesus. And then that come privately to us and say, hey, keep walking with Jesus. We need those people in our life. That's why you need a small group. That's why you need a biblical community. That's why people need the church. That's why people need to be here together. We need people that help us when we begin to get, hey, don't just take my word for it. Come on, check with my buddies. Check with my buddies. They're keeping me focused. I'm so thankful for the amazing leadership teams of this church. So thankful. So thankful for the people that God has put in my life, both within the church and outside. So thankful. Because I'm no different than anybody else. I could be running with the vision that God has for me, and that vision quickly is no longer a God vision, it's a Ben vision. But because I got great people around me, because I got partners around me, that just helps say, hey, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? Okay. Every single person needs those people in their life. Because I'm telling you right now, I've seen the best of people. I've seen the best intentions in people. And I've seen what happens when they remove their community from themselves. Their theology gets off. Their leadership gets off. Their devotion gets off. Everything starts to go. But it's those that allow people in their life to speak into it. Listen to me. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. There is never a day that stops until you meet with Him in heaven. Everybody needs partners in their life. Everybody. Everybody. Who's your partners? Who's your small group? Who's your community? We need them. I need them. You need them. Paul needed them. I'm not traveling alone. I'm coming to you under Christ's authority, but I'm smart enough to realize I need some buddies. And so not just I, Paul, but all the brothers and sisters that are with me, we write to you. And we say, be one in Christ Jesus. God, we thank you for your word today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.